You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
So open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 21. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory. And Lord, we're just so grateful for your grace and favour, your mercy on our lives and homes, marriages, families, our churches, on our nation. And Father, we're just so grateful for that. And Lord, that we might come to that revelation that it isn't my might and power, but it's by your Spirit. Father, that we might be led of the Holy Ghost. My sheep hear my voice. Father, we're just so grateful. We just thank you. In Jesus' name. You know, in Luke chapter 21, here in verse 7, they asked Jesus, he says here, Teacher, when will these things be and what sign will it be when these things are about to take place? They're asking not some end-time prophet, but they're actually asking Jesus, what will be the predominant signs? And the very first thing he says in verse 8 is that take heed that no one deceives you. Isn't that interesting? And then he adds to it, and he says, for many will come in my name saying, I'm he, and the time is drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and rumours of wars, he talks about those sort of things, is that right? But the very first thing that I noticed here when they asked Jesus, what would be the predominant sign? No, it's not 666 and the stormtroopers are coming. The predominant sign will be deception. Now, that's what he said. I didn't say that. He actually mentions it three times. I really believe we live in a time and an age of deception. Very easy to be deceived. You know, I believe the most powerful way not to be deceived is that you can learn to hear God's voice for yourself. Can I have an amen? But in verse 26, he goes on and says, there are men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. It talks about men's hearts failing them for fear. You know, Greek word there is, for fail is to faint, to breathe out life. And you know, we live in a time of, I believe, I love that song that we were singing there. We live in stressful times. Can I have an amen? Stressful days. You know, just think about it. I was reading Time magazine a few years ago. I was amazed that this leading psychologist was saying that the stress levels today equal the mental patients of the 1950s. So what's considered normal today, you're a mental patient in the 1950s. I thought that would impress a lot of people. But you know, just think about stress. I mean, is that right? I mean, just some of the major causes of diseases of stress, cancer, heart disease, mental breakdowns, domestic violence, suicide, drugs, crime, road rage. I mean, some of our young people are smouldering volcanoes just waiting for something to ignite that. Is that right or not? You know, I was just thinking about this just recently. There's no shortage in the church, and I'm not criticizing, but there's no shortage, you know, on prophetic and healing and gifts of the Spirit. But there's very little, really, I believe, that actually showing us how we can walk in the peace of God. You know, I believe one of the saddest things that is lacking in our modern age, you know, is peace. Love is obviously, but certainly peace. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. How do you be still? You know, in this society today, anxiety society, is that right or not? He says, be still and know that I'm God. Still actually means to cease from your inner turmoil. Just cease from that turmoil. I mean, think about it today. ADD in kids is off the Richter scale. I'm sure that, you know, if I was a kid today, I'd be on Ritalin. Is that right or not? A lot of times it's just boys being boys. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm on that. I've got three grandsons. I've got a greenie granddaughter that you're not allowed to touch a mouse, and three grandsons that want to shoot everything that moves. My grandson goes in the army in 2 weeks' time. But, you know, ADD is extreme increase in those sort of things. Violence in the home. My son's a detective, Northern Territory, and he was telling me the greatest threat to a child today comes from its own home, its own father. How bad is that? Stress levels off the Richter scale. Is that right? Domestic violence, things like that. The cause of many of our diseases, divorce, violence in the home. You know, sometimes I think we think that we can find peace in a bottle, in a pill or a formula. Peace is not a pill, it's not a formula, it's not a place, it's a person. Can I have an amen? You know, everybody wants to go to Bali, Bali, Bali. If we could just go to Bali, Hawaii, half the populations. We went to Bali 2 years ago, all the Balinese want to come here. How deep's that? I don't know how many Balinese said to me, how could I get to Australia? I'm working 70 hours a week. I said, swim out and catch the boat. Leaves every morning at 9 o'clock. I'm politically correct, as you can pick it up. Thank you for your... I was introduced as the most politically incorrect preacher. I said, I'll take that as a compliment. I can't handle political correctness anyway. Let's just call a spade a spade. But I was amazed at the people, you know, that just want to come to Australia. Aussies want to go over there and or they want to come here. You know, this, you know, peace is not a formula, a pill, a bottle. It's a person. Ephesians talks about, in Ephesians 2, it says, for he is our peace. Can I have an amen? Peace is a person. There's no peace without the Prince of Peace. Go there. Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll go there with me. Ephesians. How many of you believe the Bible? I mean, you really do believe the Word of God? I got a new Bible. It's not opening to write pages yet, so just give me a moment, but it'll come. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. It says here, for he himself is our peace, has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. But he is our peace. Is that awesome or what? You know, really, today, you know, it's taken me 35 years to learn this. As smart as you are, as talented as you think you are, as anointed as maybe you are, but without the grace and the peace of God, you won't make it. You won't make it, I can tell you. It's taken me 35 years to realize, to come to the place that faith really is a rest. It's not constant struggling and striving and pushing and shoving, but faith is a rest. Bible talks in Hebrews about the rest. There is a rest for the people of God. Is that right or not? Be still and know that I'm God. I'm not criticizing. I'm not sure if we even know how to be still anymore. You know, even in the church, we pop pills and, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, you know, my generation, that was I didn't grow up in the church. I was telling the blokes the other day, yesterday morning. But, you know, in my day, I wasn't a Christian. I don't even know that anyone even remotely thought of suicide, let alone do it. But there's suicide in Christian schools. My kids go to Christians, my grandkids. Drugs in Christian schools, suicide. Something is seriously, seriously wrong. Can I have an amen? And so here, you know, I'm just realizing there is no peace without the Prince of Peace. Go to Romans with me here. And I really believe that this is also a major part. This is what I find anyway. In Romans chapter 5, I love this passage, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the peace of God, but peace with God. You know, a lot of people don't have peace with God. They think that they have a theology that God's just waiting for them to step out of line and he's going to smash them. I've never grown up with that theology. You know, when I got saved by a man that taught us the Father heart of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. But a lot of people, you know, I counsel a lot of people, they don't have peace with God. You can tell they don't have peace with God. Not just the peace of God, but peace with God. Is that awesome or what? Then we might come through before the mercy seat to receive what? Judgment, a smack in the ear, no mercy. I love that. You know, right now I believe there's an anointing of peace here right now, rest. Everybody knows the Greek word for healing or Hebrew word for healing is Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. But did you know that the root word, where that one comes from, is simply the word relax? Think about that. Even our English words, dis-ease, break it down. No ease, no rest, no peace. Job talks about that. You know, you can do religious things sometimes and think that, you know, how many of you know you can even pray out of fear, certainly not out of faith? And Job is into fear. Is that right? He thinks that his kids have blasphemed God, and he gets up and not once in a while, but every day he says that he makes sacrifice. And he says, I have no peace. I have no rest. And trouble comes. Well, he's praying, but obviously not in peace, not in rest. One of the things that I love about, you know, being born again, spirit-filled, particularly spending time praying in the Holy Ghost, is the peace that it brings. There is a rest. When the world's going nuts and you just draw aside, is that right or not? And you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and that dome of peace starts to drop over you. You know, as I say here, I love this. We have peace with God. You know, people say, listen to the inner voice. I got a better word. Listen for the friendly voice. The friendly voice. Sometimes I've been going through some major problems. You know, I hear this voice say, I love you. I even like you. I love that. And I know all about you. You know, when God found out about your sins was not when you confessed it. Is this too deep? Is that right or not? And I love it. Loved us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I love that peace. There's nothing that takes the place of the... Can I have an amen or what? Amen. The peace of God. Just the peace of God. In a world that's fast going nuts. You know, I'm sitting in a church maybe 5 years ago and probably shared last time I was down here, but when it's your turn to minister, you can do it your way. And I'm just sitting and I'm just listening, you know, to the worship, and I hear the voice of God say, are you really led of the Spirit or are you just driven by flesh? And I wonder, I'm not criticising, I'm just wondering, observing, how much of the church is driven, not even led? Think of some of the titles of our books, The Purpose-Driven Life. I don't want to be driven. I'm sure it's a great book. I just don't want to be driven. Is that right or not? Bible talks about those that are led by the Spirit of God. My sheep hear my voice. You know, the shepherd leads, the sheepdog drives. Is that right or not? And I'm just thinking about some of these things. You know, the world's fast going nuts. You know, I don't know about you, and I travel a lot, and Pastor and I were talking, but I'm really concerned about the number of ministers that are quitting. Just burnt out. My wife, you know, is dealing right now with three pastors' wives that want to leave. They want to quit. But not just the church. They want to quit on life, on family, just get away, drive. They say they can't handle the pressure anymore. Think about that. If that's what's happening in the ministry, what must be happening in the general population? Is that right or not? Well, you know, I got a friend in ministry. He said, I regularly go out to the airport, stand there and look at all the planes and think, which one would I get on and never ever come back again? And I'm thinking, he said, I haven't done it yet. But I'm just thinking, the pressure, the stress. Going to have an amen or what? Just the stress, that stress. But it says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Go to Matthew with me, Matthew chapter 11. I love the practicalness of the Word of God. Can I have an amen on that? You know, sometimes I think we have the theory of the things, but, you know, do we know how to work it out? Here's a little tip for you. You know, we're always looking for something on the outside, but live your life from the inside out. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you're going to find out there in a place, whether you go to Bali. How many of you know when you go to Bali, you go to Hawaii, and you look in the mirror, you realize you took your greatest problem with you? You. How do you get away from yourself? How do you escape yourself? Is this too deep or what? Hello, you wake up. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Let's go back, we'll read verse 28. Jesus, red letters, he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and are what? I'll give you rest. I love that. Give, give. Everybody say give. Anytime you see the word give, it's talking about grace. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to fast for it. He says, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. Am I distorting scripture? Is that what it says? Hello. If you actually, our part is to come to him, his response is, I'll give you rest. Can I have an amen? It's really just bringing Jesus back as the focal point of your life. It's really just bringing Jesus back as the center point. Is that right or not? Of your life, of your home, of your family, of the church, of you know, of the world. I love that passage where Paul writes in Romans. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Is that right or not? It's the centerpiece of the Word of God. If you don't understand the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you may know your Bible, but you've missed the very focal point of the entire Word of God. And you got people out there that major maybe on end times or Old Testament or Jewish ceremonies, and that's all good, but it's not the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Can I have an amen? And somewhere, I don't know, but we sort of just pushed Jesus on the peripheral, and I'm sure everything else, it's important and great, but it's not the gospel. You know, it's the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the center point, the most important event in mankind's history. Can I have an amen? A few years ago, my wife talked with to flying back to Europe. She comes from a German family. We arrive in Charles de Gaulle Airport, Paris, France. I'm not a good flyer. Lights on, but nobody's home. You know, 20-hour flight. I've got arms like orangutans from carrying my wife's bags pulled out of the sockets. I can't sleep on planes. I'm just standing there comatose, you know. Anyway, We did some meetings and she said, let's go to the Louvre. Not the Louvre, the Louvre. Anybody been to the Louvre? The Louvre houses some of the most valuable art pieces in the world. And you know, if you, I was reading, if you spend, I think, 3 or 4 minutes in front of every art piece, it would take you 3 months to go through the Louvre. You know, and you get over there, you imagine. But there's one art piece that doesn't need description, it doesn't need a name. Is that right? It is beyond value. All you need to do is flash it up and everybody knows the Mona Lisa. Is that right? Everybody knows the Mona Lisa just from the fact. So you imagine you spend all the money and you go to France and you put up with all that. Is that right? And you know, and you spend hours getting through their customs and things and everything else. You get to the hotel. Is that right? And eventually you go to the Louvre and you line up with all those people and you get in and you go through the Louvre and oh, it's awesome. And you come back and Pastor Graham says, hey, did you go to France? Oh, I loved it. I loved the cuisine, the people. You know, he says, well, did you get the Louvre? I loved the Louvre. It was awesome. What did you think of the Mona Lisa? I never even saw the Mona Lisa. Well, you may have gone to Paris, France. You may have even gone to Louvre. But you missed the most valuable art piece in the world, or the Mona Lisa. And if you don't understand the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you may know your Bible, but you have missed the very most valuable, is that right? The most important event in mankind's history. Jesus needs to be the focal point of our lives. It's simply bringing Jesus back as the centerpiece of our lives. That's why I love songs that, you know, that say something. Can I have an amen? It talks about here, if you come to me, it says, I'll give you rest. That the Greek word anapores, which means to refresh, it actually means to relax. I'll give it to you. I love that. He says, if you come to me, I'll actually give you rest. I'll give you peace. In Luke chapter 6, just quickly, let's go to a couple of scriptures here. In Luke chapter 6, I like sharing things that God's actually dealing with me about. You know, not something I got out of a book or a message I heard, but that God's dealing with me about. And in Luke chapter 6 is a passage in verse 46 which says, why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even do the things that I ask? Now, I'm leaving later, hello. But I want to ask you a question. I don't know, I'm not judging anybody. Jesus may be your Savior, but is Jesus really your Lord? I know we call him that. But he says, why do you call me Lord and you don't even do the things that I ask you to do? If he's Lord, is that right or not? We actually do what he leads us. He guides us. Can I have an amen? And so often I think this is what I've been doing or have done. You go to him with your prayers and they may be valid. We hold them up. This is my blueprint for life. Just rubber stamp this. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you even bother to call me Lord? You don't even do what I ask you to do. I'm sitting in a church. And I'm just sitting there and the Spirit of God just speaks to me. He says, are you led of the Spirit or are you just driven by your own flesh? It's very close, is that right or not? Very, very fine line between being led and being driven. Can I have an amen? You know, that inner compulsion that drives people, that pushes and shoves. Is that right or not? You know, I really believe if we have rest, it's rest in our work. Not rest from work, but rest in our work. There are some people that just seem to be able. My wife's that sort of person. A dome of peace. You know, all hell can be breaking loose and she's just at absolute peace. I really envy that with my wife. Why do you call me Lord? And you don't even do what I ask you to do. You know, as I say here, I'm just thinking about some of these things, led or driven. You know, I really believe that bringing Jesus back as the center of our lives, to the church, the focal point of our lives, the end of self, I didn't make this up, I heard it, I love it. The end of self is where Christ begins, where you end. And I really believe if you want to do things yourself, I believe God will just let you go for it, there you go. And if you do it yourself, it may work, it may not work, but you'll have to make it work. Or you can do it God's way. Can I have an amen? Anyway, you know, in 1 John chapter 4, let's look at some more scriptures here this morning. 1 John chapter 4, I love the Word of God. Anybody love the Word of God? You know, anyway, 1 John chapter, where are we? 1 John chapter 4, and it says here, I'm sure you're familiar with this, verse 17. You know, we say, I found the Lord, but actually, really, he found you. Can I have an amen? Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. I like that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he whose fear has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You know, sometimes, and you can mean well, I mean, you have a heart for your people. When I pastored, I loved my people, loved the church. I thought I was doing right. And I'm telling people, you've got to love God more. Come on, you've got to love God more, you know. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to me. He says, I quoted that verse, perfect love casts out fear. And then I get a revelation, it's impossible for me to have perfect love. So I'm driving and I'm pushing my people to attain to something that's unattainable. And then all of a sudden, I had a revelation. He's not talking about my love for him. He's talking about his love for me. The only perfect love is God's love for you. Can I have an amen? I was sharing this morning, I think, with Pastor. The only things that love you unconditionally in your life, is that right, in the world, are God and your dog. Is this right? My dog loves me no matter what. If I had a shower, I haven't had a shower. Is that right or not? Come home. Whatever it is, my dog runs down and jumps up and lips. Is that right? Unconditional love. And that is how it is with the Lord, with you and me. Unconditional love. I love that. We have peace with God. Now, I may have shared this before, but it's just coming to mind. Somebody must need it. But, you know, I go to a barber shop on the Gold Coast, and, you know, I don't even like it because the guy's not saved. He's rough as bags. Every second word's a swear word. I mean, if you took the swear words out of his vocabulary, we'd be struck dumb. Hello? And he drops expletives in the middle of the word. And I think, but he's a good barber, so I go there, you know, anyway. He's away, and there's a lady barber. She's rougher than he is. I mean, she's swearing, got tattoos all over. She'll feel a love coming. I was sharing with the men yesterday. Everybody's got a tattoo. They asked me, why don't I have one? I said, well, would you put a bumper sticker on a Ferrari? Anyway, we won't go there. Now, if you got a tattoo, don't get all bent out of shape. Hello, thank you, Jesus. Just put your rocks down. I just didn't. Anyway, and this lady's going, and I said, she looks at me and says, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. Well, the language changed immediately. It's amazing how the language, is that right? I thought the first time I've heard bad language, probably won't be the last, but the language changed. Now she picks on God. God did this and God did that and God, 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 God. And I said, lady, just be quiet. I said, just shut up. I said, look at me. Look at me. I said, look at me because they won't look at you. I said, look at me. I said, look. I said, you know what? I said, God loves you. Just like you are, tattoos, warts, God loves you. She looks at me. Now, she's never heard that. I'm sure she's heard she's a mongrel going to hell. And she looked at me and she said, well, you don't even know what I've done. I said, well, if it's based on what you've done, I've done, I don't qualify. Is that right or not? I don't qualify. I said, it's not based on what you and I've done. It's based on accepting what he has done for us. The only religion, well, I shouldn't call it religion, the only faith on the planet that's not based on what you and I do is Christianity. If you're a Muslim, you've got to pray five times a day facing Mecca. What happens if you miss a tomb? If you're a Buddhist, you've got to keep attaining higher level till eventually you reach, is that right? You know, Seventh-day Adventist, go to church on a certain day, Old Testament Christian, all based on what you and I do. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. But only the gospel of grace is not based on what you or I have done or can do. It's based on accepting the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That once and for all, he paid the price for you and I. I said, lady, God loves you. Just she started to cry right in the barber shop. She, no, look, I didn't touch lady. I didn't touch her. Hello, I never touched her. 2 weeks later, she turns up at church. I never rammed you've got to have a track. And tracks are great. She just turns up at church. She obviously saw something. As far as I know, she's still going to church. So I go back a month later and she's away. The bloke barber's back and he sees me and he brushes through the people and he walks up and he says, I don't know what you did to Helen, but that must be one hell of a church. That's exactly what he said. I said, well, maybe you need to come too, mate. He said, it's not that bad yet. Just talking about the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that brings man to repentance. You want to know why a lot of people don't have peace? Because they don't have peace with God. What does the world talk? If we have cyclones, it's an act of God. Is that right? Not the God that I serve. Can I have an amen or what? Listen to me. Many people do not have peace with God. They may have peace of God, but they don't have peace with God. The numbers of people that I know myself that I've counseled deep down do not have peace with God. They don't trust God. Anyway, thank you. But here, he's talking about perfect love. That perfect love, you get a revelation of how much God loves you. You know, we start to talk about grace and people say, oh, sloppy grace. Don't say that. It cost God his son. Can I have an amen or what? the grace of God, unmerited favor. Is that right? Unearned favor. If you don't want it, I'll take all I can get. Thank you, Jesus. Can I have an amen? You know, we look at the Bible and we think these people are super spiritual, but they were men and women just like you, just like me. In John chapter 20, look with me in John chapter 20. And here this is talking about the early church. And we thought, I think those super spiritual people, and they're gathered together in the upper room. You know the reason they were in the upper room? Because they were scared stiff of the Jews. That's the reason they gathered in the upper. Read it for yourself here. In John chapter 20, verse 17, here it says, Jesus said to them, "Do not cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father, your Father, and to my God, your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she'd seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. I'm very quiet in this Presbyterian church right about now. I'm not being smart. The reason they were up there, because they were afraid. And the very first words that Jesus speaks to them, he says, "Peace be with you." Is that right? The very first words that come out of his mouth is, "Peace with you." He goes on, and then he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I love that. You know, he's talking. Anyway, you know, I'm not sure if we even know how to get peace anymore. I'm not sure if we even know how to relax anymore. I'm not sure if we even know how to be still anymore. You know, we are so, driven that we even have houses on wheels called caravans. Thank you for your enthusiasm on that. But people sell so they can move and move and move, because peace is always somewhere just over there. If I can just get there, if I can go to Bali, if I can just go, I'm sure there's legitimate people, hello there. Is that right? I've got to qualify that. But a lot of people, you know, they come to Darwin and things like that, they're just always over the horizon. It's going to be the next place. They're going to find peace. They're going to find the joy, but they never find it, because you take your biggest problem with you. You've got to learn to live your life from the inside out, not the outside in. See, happiness. How many of you know that joy and peace are fruit of the Spirit? Is that right or not? You know, it's developed on the inside. You know, happiness is something that's determined by circumstances. Well, is that right? But peace and joy is something that comes from within you. You know, joy, you know, you don't even know why you're joyful. Things are going nuts, but inside of you there is still that peace and joy. I love my wife. My wife's got a great sense of humor. I was going through a really, really tough time a little while ago. Lost some of my friends and things like that. Anyway, and so I arrived at the airport. You know, I'm a bit downcast. So she comes to meet me. And so she gets a blonde wig and changes her appearance. Got a blonde wig, got one of my daughter's dresses, you know, sunglasses on. Well, you don't look at people at the airport. They're just standing there, you know. And even my daughters didn't recognize their mother. So I'm just standing there waiting for my bags, and Jen comes up and stands alongside of me. And I'm just sitting, so I didn't pay attention. She goes, boof, like that. I thought, "You're rude, lady. You're just rude." So I walked over and stood there. She walked up and come did it again. I was just about to say something, but she grabbed me and kissed me. I mean, "What's the matter with you?" And she took the wig off and said, "Just as well you didn't enjoy that." And we started to laugh. Right there in the airport, we're laughing. And the other people around it just, you know, is that right? Just started laughing. I mean, hello, anybody know what? Joy and peace, we have lost it. I was talking to a minister from a third world country at a conference recently. He says, "The first thing I noticed in your country is that people are sad. They don't even walk around with smiles on their face." I'm just telling you what he said. Never been here before, he said, "but look at the average person." Is that right? Some of us look like we've been baptized in vinegar. Cruise directors for the Titanic. Cheerleaders for the next depression. Can I have an amen? But joy, is that right? Squeeze right in there between love and peace. I remember I nearly lost my church in Darwin. I won't go into circumstances. And so we're coming to a conference down in Adelaide. I get my two associate pastors. We get on the plane. And after all of this, you know, all of a sudden all the stress, the pressure lifts off, and we just sat together and we started to laugh. We laughed for 3.5 hours. And we're laughing on the plane, and the hostess is coming up and she's saying, "Your joy is affecting all the people." She said, "What do you do? Are you comedians or something?" I said, I'm a pastor. We're going to a conference." She said, "You don't have to lie about things." That's what she said to me. And she kept coming back and said, "What do you do?" I said, "Well, actually, I'm a psychiatrist. I'm taking these two to Happy Acres." She said, "I can believe that." And I asked the Lord, I said, how come, you know, she could believe I'm taking these two to the nut farm, but she can't even believe I'm a minister of the gospel. She, you know, I'm just, that doesn't that bother anybody else? I mean, just that love, just that peace, just that joy. I mean, the thing that I notice anyway is that when all hell's breaking loose, you know, that anybody that's got any semblance of peace or tranquility in their life stands out. I was in Singapore, the global financial downturn. I remember sitting in the motel and I'm watching this businessman. He's speaking, and he must have been speaking overseas. And he's probably talking for 20 minutes, and I watched the countenance on his face. He went white. And I thought he's going to have a heart attack and die. You know, and I'm just thinking, whoa, you know, just the circumstances of life, and there goes your peace. And there goes your joy. Learn to live your life from the inside out. The peace of God. Peace with God. I love that. You know, the approach to the throne of God, is that awesome or not? Because we're his child. Is that right or not? As Jesus is in this world, so are we. We can just approach the very throne room of what? To receive mercy, not judgment. We have peace with God. Not just the peace of God, but peace with God. Quickly go with me to Luke. Got to close off on time. So Luke chapter 10. I love this passage. I spent a lot of time in this passage just of late. In Luke chapter 10, you might know the story here in verse 42. And what's going on, if I can just pick it up. Verse 38, as they happened, they went into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me alone to serve? Tell her to come and help me. I mean, let's put it in the Aussie vernacular. Is that right? This woman comes in and says, hey, I'm out there sweating my guts out over the barbecue. I'm out there cooking the chops and this lazy slob sitting here doing nothing. Tell her to come and give me a hand. What's the matter with you? Is that right? And that seems to be the natural thing to do. Is that right? That's just protocol. How much more if it's Jesus? Is that right or not? And most people think that that's the right thing to do. But Jesus in verse 41 says, and Jesus answered, said, Martha, Martha, you're worried, you're troubled, you're stressed out about many things, but one thing. But one thing. Not 15 formulas and 25 steps, but one thing. Is that right? One thing. I wonder what the one thing might be. Is that right? Bringing Jesus back as the centerpiece of your life. You know what I believe? See, read this for yourself. Is that right? What I would have thought were the right thing to do is that they're serving Jesus. Is that right? But Martha is sitting there. This is what I believe she says. I ain't leaving this spot. I've had the very presence of the Word of God here. Is that right? The peace of God sitting right here before me. If you think I'm going to waste it out there cooking snags and chops, you better snap out of it. Jesus, if you want to be fed again, you better do another loaves and fishes trick because I'm not leaving this spot. And Jesus commends her. One's led, one's driven. I ask you, what are you? I'm not criticizing, I'm judging, but what are you? Martha thinks she's doing the right thing. She's out there and she's, is that right? And she thinks what she's doing right. But Jesus says, no, you're just stressed out. In fact, I really believe what he's saying. You're more concerned about what people were going to think about you. Is that right or not? It's all image, ego. You're more concerned here about other people. Mary's chosen the right thing. That Jesus would be the focal point of her life. Nothing will come before that. I don't know about you, but I made a decision when the Lord spoke to me. If it's not God, I don't want to do it anymore. Now, if that's other people, I just don't want to do it anymore. You know, if it's not really God, I can't be bothered anymore. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm. But Romans chapter 5, I love it. We have peace with God. Peace with God. Listen to me, in a world that's going nuts fast, anxiety society, do I lie? That you can trace back most of our modern problems to stress. Doctors tell, is that right? The stress level of people off the Richter scale. But Jesus said, if you come to me, is that right? If you come to me, I'll give you rest. My suggestion, if you don't have rest, then maybe you need to come to him. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you even bother to call me Lord? I may be your savior, but why do you call me Lord? Don't even do the things that I ask you to do. Father, we just give you the praise. We give you the glory. I speak blessings over my brothers, my sisters. Lord, I speak blessings over these people. I call them the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. I say, Lord, that the enemy shall no longer find opportunities to rob, to kill and destroy. Father, I just thank you for your grace. I thank you for your favor. Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ has paid the price once and for all. That right now we have peace, not only the peace of God, but we have peace with God. We worship you, Lord. We magnify your name. That we might just come and sit at your feet. Just receive that grace. Receive that favor. Would you just bow your heads just for a few moments? I want to read you passage of scripture and listen to the words of the scripture. Words are conveyors of images. You know, I really believe that the word has the ability to take an image from the heart of God and deposit it into your heart. And allow the word of God to minister to you. It says here, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me, not that I do it myself. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Fresh, tender, green pastures. Talks about abundance. He leads me. Not that I do it myself. He leads me. Besides the still waters. Restful. Calm. Still waters. He restores my soul. In a world that's going nuts. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. And yes, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod, the word of God, your staff, the Holy Spirit, they lead me, they comfort me, they guide me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Not only enough for your needs to be met, but to meet the needs of other people as well. But I love this in verse 6. Surely, positively, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Jesus, for that rest, for that peace. Can I get you to stand up, everybody? Just stand up. Would you just join hands, you know, maybe across the aisles? You know, I really believe this. I'm not making it up. I believe there's an anointing of peace. What I find now when I'm ministering is that very thing starts to manifest. If you're talking about joy, it begins to manifest. If you're talking about peace, there is an anointing of peace. There's a dome of peace. All you need to do is receive it. Just close your eyes. All you need to do is receive that peace. Some of you, symptoms in your body will leave. You'll be amazed that when the stress goes, so do the symptoms. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters now that they might have a reality, might have, Lord, a revelation that they have peace with you. Not just the peace of God, but peace with God. That we can come before your very throne to receive the gift of mercy, grace, favor in our lives. And Father, I just loose that anointing upon these people, that anointing, that grace, that favor, the peace of God. Lord, you said if we would come to you, you'd give us rest. That your yoke is light and easy. And Father, I just believe as we come before you now, that rest, that peace begins to manifest in people's lives. The stress begins to leave. Marital problems all of a sudden just dissolve without even counseling. Situations in our workplace, suddenly there's an answer for it. Thank you, Jesus. All of those problems that seem so horrendous when we came in now seem insignificant. Father, receive us as Marys, not as Marthas. Not out there doing everything and calling it God, but we choose to come and sit at your feet to make you the focal point of our lives. The number one thing in our lives, this one thing, the most important thing, we thank you for it. Just loose that anointing of peace and rest on these people. Father, I believe that symptoms leave, problems just dissipate. Financial things all of a sudden don't seem quite so important anymore marital problems, symptoms in our body just dissolve and go. Thank you, Jesus. You are our peace. You are the Prince of Peace. And without you, there won't be any peace. We worship you. We magnify your name. Thank you, Jesus. While your heads are bowed and nobody's looking around, just for a moment, is there anybody here this morning that you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord? I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm asking you to pass from the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of light. To come out of a neurotic society, receive the peace of God. Is there anyone at all? Just slip your hand up and say, please, Pastor, would you pray for me? I won't embarrass you. I won't drag you down the front. I'll pray for you right where you sit, standing. All you need to do is slip your hand up. Say, I receive that. I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. So one time, is there anyone at all that I might pray for this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then I want you to say with me, everybody, just close your eyes and say, I receive. Say, I receive the peace. I come to you now as a Mary and not a Martha, but I come to you and make you the focal point of my life, the centerpiece of my life, and I receive your peace. Thank you, Jesus. You're not only my Savior, but you're my Lord. And I thank you now that I have peace with you and I have peace with God. And I give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.